especially when the authorities say that we can't do things which are very dear to us. And here in Australia, we're also a Western consumerist culture. Our culture works by telling everybody about the things that we don't have and then continuing to talk to us until we want these things that we don't have, and then keeping on talking to us until we feel like we need these things that we don't have so that we go out and buy them. You know, watch any ad on you, and you'll see that it's telling you a story. It's telling you, you don't have this car, you don't have this watch, you don't have this insurance product, you haven't been to this place, but wouldn't you be so much better off if you did? Our culture wants you to focus on these things that you don't have, and it wants to make you feel bad about not having these things or these experiences until you can't handle it anymore and you want to go out and buy it. So as Aussies, we don't like being told what we can't do, and we're constantly being told that we need all these things that we don't have. And so in this time of restriction, this word restriction, it sounds like a curse word to us. You know, when we come to a time of restriction, when the government is telling us things we can't do, experiences we can't have now, it's difficult because we want to fixate on these things that we don't have. And it makes us feel bad because we can't have them now. We sit at home thinking of the things that we can't do, and it allows all sorts of negative emotions to build up because we can't do them. And it just goes against everything that we've been told for as long as we can remember. Now, I don't know if you're feeling that yourself at this time, but flicking through the news, there's certainly a lot of people who are. But is it the only way? If this is the way our culture is, are we doomed to feeling bad until these restrictions are lifted? When our souls are feeling down in the middle of this, is there anything that we can say to our souls to encourage them? Well, thankfully, you know, if you open your Bibles now to Psalm 103, from where Pastor Tony finished reading, you'll see that feeling down isn't the only way. We're not doomed. There is much that we can say to our souls to encourage them in this season. So please open your Bibles with me to Psalm 103. But before we get to the message, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, and we thank you that it speaks to us all the time, even in a time like this. And we thank you that it speaks to us words of hope and peace and encouragement, words of comfort. It tells us the words that we need to live and find hope and joy and peace at this time. And Father, we pray that as we look at Psalm 103, you would speak this word of hope and joy and peace to us, and may it encourage us and encourage our souls and lift them up when they're feeling down because of this unusual time that we're in. May you use this word to speak to us, to fill up what is lacking in our faith, make us more complete, and make us more like Jesus. Help us to see things more from his perspective so that we might live his way more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we turn to Psalm 103, there's not much that we know for sure about this psalm, other than it says that it's of David. But we do know that it tells us what we need to say to our souls when they're feeling downcast. Let me read Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. My soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. So what is the antidote to a downcast soul? How can we lift up our hearts when they feel like they're in a low place? How can we fight for joy when we're in a dark place? By reminding our souls to praise the Lord, bless him, praise him and bless his name. It's like the time that Silas and Paul were thrown into prison unjustly in Acts 16, and rather than let it get them down, they took the opportunity to pray and sing hymns of praise to God. So in this psalm, David tells his soul that it's time to praise the Lord. And I can tell you, at a time like this, there is tremendous power in praising God to raise your spirits. In any time, there's tremendous power in praising God to raise your spirits. There is tremendous power in calling upon all it that is within you to bless his holy name. But how, you might ask? How can I praise God in this situation? I feel so restricted and confined. I feel like my whole life has been thrown out the window. The government's told me so many things I can't do and things that are really important to me that I really want to do, but I can't. And if God is God, he must be in charge of this. So how can I praise him when he's thrown such a big spanner into the works of my life? But I guess even deeper than that, this situation that we're in, we've got a virus which is going through the world, destroying lives, destroying livelihoods, and bringing pain and suffering in its wake when it does. I guess this situation, it also reveals two big problems that we all share as the human race. We all have turned our back on God. We've all sinned against him. And because we have, this world is cursed. Because of us, this world just isn't the way it's supposed to be. This time that we're experiencing now, it's not just the fault of a few people who've made some bad decisions, although as the situation has worked itself out, there is an element of that. But from heaven's perspective, we've brought this on ourselves because none of us have had the fear of the Lord that we ought to. None of us have obeyed his voice and done his will perfectly as we were created for. And as much as we don't like it, this situation reminds us that we haven't lived up to who God has created us to be. And because we haven't, there are consequences. It can make it hard to praise God because we think, how can I praise God when I'm reminded of the consequences of my sin? It just makes me feel like a fraud. But not only that, this situation also reminds us how frail we are as people. As we see the news reports from around the world, we can't help but be reminded that people get sick, that people die. We've seen reports come in saying that it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how healthy you are, no one is perfectly safe from getting sick or even dying. This virus is exposing how frail we are as people. When it really comes down to it, I'm not in control of my life or my health. And it never fills us with warm, fuzzy feelings when we're smacked in the face with that truth. It makes us think, how can I praise God when I don't know for sure whether tomorrow I'm going to live or die? These three ways at least make this a time when it can be hard to praise God. But in this psalm, David doesn't just tell his soul to praise God naively, just to think happy thoughts about God and then this darkness is going to go away. He's not telling his soul to praise God, even though everything else is saying that God isn't praiseworthy. In this psalm, David tells his soul how we can praise God in any situation, even in this difficult one. Look at the end of verse 2 with me. David tells his soul, don't forget all God's benefits. Don't forget all the wonderful blessings we have when we know and love God. Blessings that make all the difference, whatever situation we find ourselves in. But what blessings? What are the blessings of knowing and fearing the Lord? What words of comfort can we speak to our souls to lift them up when they're feeling down? In this psalm, there's three main ideas. That with God, there is forgiveness of sin for those who are feeling guilty and broken. With God, there is healing and redemption. There's hope for souls feeling frail. And with God, we have so much more than we can ever imagine, and it will never be taken away from us. If we can speak those wonderful truths to our souls and our souls drink them in, then for sure our souls will praise the Lord and bless his holy name, no matter what the circumstance. But don't just take my word for it. Let me show you from the psalm that these are truths that David wants our souls to drink in. Now, as you heard before when Pastor Tony read it out, these truths are intermingled all throughout the psalm. But let me bring them out one by one. First, when your soul is feeling guilty and broken. With God, there is forgiveness. Look at the start of verse 3. My soul, don't forget all the benefits of knowing God. God who forgives your iniquity, oh, my guilty soul. And more than that, God who forgives all your iniquity. When your soul is feeling poor and is mourning because it feels the weight of sin, sin that it just can't seem to beat, and sin that only causes hurt and destruction to yourself and to others, tell your soul to shift its focus from your sin and refocus back on God. Because God is a God who forgives sin. God is a God who doesn't hold his people's sin against them. And it gets better than that. Look at verse 10 with me. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our iniquities. In fact, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Yes, our sin might be great. Yes, our iniquities and transgressions might be piled up to the sky. But God's grace and mercy is more. We might be great sinners. We might behave in too many ways which make us seem like God's enemies. But God doesn't treat us as such. How does he treat us instead? He's patient with us, more than we'll ever know. He's kind to us, much more than we deserve. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs against him. But how does he respond to our wrongs against him? He has taken them away from us, as far as the east is from the west. And that's a poetic way of saying as far as possible. So if you're a believer today, we can say to our guilty and broken souls, soul, praise the Lord because God forgives. You might feel weighed down with sin, but God doesn't treat you according to what that sin deserves. In fact, as far as God is concerned, that sin is gone because he's taken it from you as far as it can possibly be. When you read this psalm, David was fully convinced that God forgives. But today we can be even more sure than David ever was that God forgives. And why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sin. And the guilt and shame of our sins died with him there. Because of Jesus, there is forgiveness for all those who come and ask him for it. And because of Jesus, there is now no condemnation for all those in Christ Jesus. He paid the price our sins deserve. There is no longer anything that we have to pay. His blood redeemed us from slavery to sin so that now we are free to live for him. Our sin died with Christ and was buried with him. And when Jesus rose again, he showed us all that sin and death has been defeated, that they're gone. As far as the east is from the west. David had God's promise of forgiveness. But in the cross of Christ, we see up close and personal how that forgiveness was bought and how it is real. How God can be righteous and yet declare righteous sinners like you and me. So we can be as sure of our own forgiveness as we're sure that Jesus died for my sin. For your sin, and that God raised him from the dead in victory over that sin. Now, the fact that believers are forgiven, it doesn't give us a free pass out of times like this. You know, God doesn't whisk us away from getting caught up in the brokenness of a fallen world. But we know that when we go through times like this, as believers, it's not because God is punishing us. Because if you're in Christ, there is no longer any condemnation for you. There is no longer anything God would punish you for. But God uses these times to purify us, to trim off the unfruitful parts of our lives, that our fruitful parts might bear more fruit, to fill up what is lacking in our faith and make us more complete, more like Jesus, to train us for godliness. So Christians experience difficult times just like non-Christians do, but we can face them with hope that God is doing a good work in us through them, not because he's angry with us and wants to hurt us. So if your soul is feeling weighed down by sin, if that weight is making it hard for you to praise God, tell your soul, yes, I have sinned. I may still sin, but because of Jesus and my faith in him, God doesn't hold it against me anymore. He doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. Instead, he forgives all my iniquity. He takes my transgressions away and pours love and compassion on me. And allow that mind-blowing truth to free your soul to praise God. So one of our great human problems is sin, but God is greater than our sin. So we praise him. Another human problem that might be weighing you down is that we're frail. We can get sick. We can die. And while we can be wise about it, when it really comes down to it, we really don't have any control over our health or even our lives. But this psalm speaks to that as well. When your soul is feeling frail, speak to your soul. Say, don't forget that God is a God who heals all your diseases. Don't forget he's a God who redeems out of the pit, even out of death itself. Remind your soul when it feels weak that we might be weak, but that's okay when God is your God, because God is stronger than your weakness. In fact, our frailty is something that God is only too well aware of. If you look at verses 14 to 16 with me, for he knows what we are made of, remembering that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like the flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. God knows that we're made of dust because he's the one who made us from dust. Yet, given who God is, the one who is the beginning and the end, who has existed from eternity past and will exist forever and ever, the one who is in control of everything, whose plans can't be defeated, and the one who is all-powerful and not affected at all by any kind of frailty, if that's who he is, and we're so frail that we're like grass which is here today and gone tomorrow, it makes you wonder, what hope do we have that he, being him, would care about us when he's so great and powerful and we are so weak? Well, in his grace and mercy, we have great hope. Look at verses 17 and 18 with me. So we are like grass, but from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is towards those who fear him, and his righteousness towards the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. So he is great and powerful. We are weak and frail. But still, God chooses to love us who fear him and obey him. Love us from all eternity to eternity. And not only us, but our children and our children's children. We might be weak and frail. We might get sick and die. As far as God is concerned, we're as resilient as a wildflower. I'm sure you've pulled them out of your lawn and you realize that they're not very resilient. And so we don't have any hope that comes from us inside, in ourselves. But we have a steadfast hope in God because he chooses to love us. And that makes all the difference. We have a steadfast hope that in our frailty, God will love us and be the strength that we need for us. Makes me think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 when he writes that God gave him a thorn in his flesh so that he wouldn't think more highly of himself than what he ought. A reminder of his frailty to make sure that he stayed properly grounded. And he says in verse 8, concerning this thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul came to realize that his weakness and frailty wasn't something to get down about, but it was an opportunity for God to show his eternal love and unmatched power. For him, his frailty wasn't a reason to forget how good God was and to stop praising him. But when Paul was reminded of his weakness, That was exactly the time that Paul was reminded to praise God for his strength. But Paul was so sure of that. But how can we be so sure that God actually loves us and will heal us and redeem us? Again, turn to Jesus. In fact, turn to one of the most well-known Bible verses, John 3:16. You say it aloud at home. I'll give you a moment. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We know God loves us. We know God loves the whole world because he sent Jesus. And he sent Jesus to take on our human weakness and ultimately to be beaten and die on a cross, so that by his wounds we might be healed, so that by his blood we might be redeemed. And he rose again in victory over sin and death, a victory that God promises to share with all those who follow Jesus, so that one day we will be raised imperishable. One day we will put on immortality. And on that day we will taunt death, saying, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" On that day, we will be healed from all our diseases. On that day, we will be completely redeemed from any kind of pit. On that day, we will begin in eternity of knowing God's love in a fullness that we haven't known before. On that day, we will praise him. We will tell all that's within us to bless his holy name. So when our souls feel weak and frail, we can say to them, "Yes, we are weak and frail. But for us who love God, that's okay, because we have a God who knows we're frail and still loves us. And he's strong enough to do more than we could ever hope or imagine. If we get sick, he's able to heal us, if that's what he wants to do. And we know a day is coming when we will be truly healed of every disease forever. If we fall into a pit or even die, he's able to raise us out of that. We know a day is coming when we will rise again, never to stumble or fall or die again. It's okay if we don't ultimately have control over our health and our lives, because we know the one who does, and he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, so that even if we die, it's gain, because then we get to be with Christ, which is way better than remaining here. But even more than that, the one who controls our lives loves us from everlasting to everlasting. He loved us long before we were born, and he will still love us long after this body passes away. And if we ever find ourselves in a situation where we feel weak, it's possible to find joy and praise him, because in those times he loves to show his strength to save, so that we might glorify and praise him for his tremendous love and grace and power towards us. So another great human problem is our frailty, but God is strong and he promises to use his power to save his people from their weakness. If not now, then one day soon. So we can praise him. At this time, also, we might feel confined, like there's so much we're missing out on, but let me tell you what you're not missing out on. Let me tell you what no government on earth can take away from you. In fact, let me tell you what nothing can take away from you. No pestilence or plague, nor tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness, danger, sword, not death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can take this away from you. You might feel cooped up at home and restricted, but you are not restricted from the steadfast, never-ending, faithful love of God. And really, this whole psalm is praising God for how wonderful his love is towards his people, towards those who fear him and obey him. He forgives our sin because he loves. He is strength in our weakness because he loves. But more than that, from verse 4, Because he loves, he crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. Because he loves, from verse 6, the Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. And just how big is his love for us? In verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love towards those who fear him. Now, if you ask an astronomer, we don't actually know how high the heavens are above the earth. In fact, we can't know. It is just too high. We are unable to measure it. It is that high. What we do know is that we can see an unimaginably far distance, and still we don't see the end. And I think God has designed the universe like that to tell us about his love. And that's how great God's love is for those who fear him. It's even more than an unimaginably great amount. And just how does God love us? Verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He loves us because he's a father to us, a perfect father. A father that doesn't have any of the faults of our earthly fathers. Men like me. Men who haven't perfectly fathered our children the way that God has perfectly fathered us. And because he's a perfect father, that's why he forgives us when we sin. It's because he's a perfect father that he doesn't stay angry at us forever. It's because he's a perfect father that he steps in to use his strength to help us when we're weak. Just like our earthly fathers know how to give our children good gifts, God, the perfect father, satisfies. He satiates his children with good things. He gives us life itself and gives us the ability to enjoy it to the full. In fact, every good and perfect thing we have comes down from him, the Father of lights. Even when we feel stuck at home, our government's restrictions don't restrict him. God is still able to provide us with the good things that satisfy our souls, if only we're willing to stop looking around at all the things that we can't do and instead look up and set our mind on the things that have come down from him and will come down from him. If Paul can be content to find it in his heart to praise and thank God while he's unjustly sitting in a Philippian prison, if we look, we'll find plenty of reason to praise and thank God while we've got a unique chance to spend more time at home. And what a time it is to remember that we don't live by bread alone, or we don't live by sitting down to have a nice meal at a restaurant alone, or by, you know, holidays in New York, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what a privilege it is that we have all the words that come from the mouth of God that we need to truly live. And he's given them to us because he is a father who loves us. He steps in for us and intervenes for us at the right time when we're oppressed, as loving fathers do for their children when they can't help themselves. He reveals himself to us, his ways, his deeds, because he's a father who wants us to know him and to walk in his ways that will lead us to life and life to the full. He has compassion on us. He's gracious to us and slow to anger with us. He abounds in love towards us because he is a perfect father. He is the Lord, but he's not just a Lord who commands us around without caring about us. He is the creator, but he hasn't just created us for his enjoyment at our expense, like we're a Lego set. What's more precious to us than either of these is that he is father to us. He is Lord, but he rules us as a father who loves us more than we will ever know. He's creator, but he's personally made each one of us carefully, fearfully, wonderfully, lovingly. And he planned each one of our days with a love bigger than any of us can ever comprehend. As the perfect father, it's in his very nature to love and give life. And this couldn't be better news when you look at verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Our perfect Father is also King over everything, and nothing is impossible for Him. For those who He loves, nothing can get in the way of His fatherly love. No government can place restrictions that stop God from loving His children. But governments and kingdoms are tools that He uses in His hand as He acts to love His children. So we might not be able to sit down and have a coffee at a cafe. We might not be able to strut around on Bondi Beach or go to a footy game. We might only be allowed to leave the house if we have something essential we need to do. We might not even be able to meet here on a Sunday. But if you're following the Lord Jesus today, you can say to your soul, the Father God still loves me without restriction. And with His love in my life, I have more than I could ever possibly hope or imagine. So rather than focusing on all the things that we can't do now, tell your soul to remember all the benefits that we have knowing God in Christ. Remember the God who forgives, heals, crowns, satisfies, redeems, and so much more. That's why we're encouraging the spiritual disciplines at this time, so that we might dig deeper into the wonders of what God has done for us as our Father. Because we're confident that that is the path that will allow your soul to find real satisfaction and allow you to find real and deep and lasting joy and peace, even though you're stuck at home. Then because of the satisfaction and joy you find in Him, tell your soul it's time to praise Him and bless His holy name. Because when we truly understand that God is a loving Father over all creation, and just how wonderful that is, what else is there to do but call on all creation to praise Him? Because it's that great. And that's exactly how the psalm finishes. It says, bless the Lord, all His angels of great strength who do His word, obedient to His command. Bless the Lord, all His armies, His servants who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all the places where He rules. My soul, bless the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our Father, that You love us more than we can ever possibly know. We thank You that You're a Father who forgives, who heals, who redeems, who crowns us, who satisfies us. We thank You that You reveal Yourself to us and that You love us in so many ways and You love us more than we can ever know. Help us to help us not to forget that this week. Help us not to forget that for the rest of our lives. But help us to keep turning back and remembering You and all the benefits there are to knowing You. And may it cause us to turn back to You in praise. May it cause all that is within us to turn back to You in praise and worship and wonder. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Steve's going to come up in a moment and lead us in a couple of songs. But before he does, I just want to encourage you, find a moment this week and get in touch with someone else. Give them a call. Have a video chat over Skype or Messenger or whatever. And I just want to encourage you to think about asking someone else these three questions. You know, how are you feeling in your soul in this unusual season? Are you with David saying, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that was within me, bless His holy name? Or are you feeling somewhere else? Ask them, what is a time in your life when you felt God's fatherly love and care for you? And also ask, which of the benefits of knowing God in Christ is most special to you? Now, so I want to encourage you, get in touch with someone else, ask them those questions. And I'm sure if you do that and you talk through these questions with each other and pray about the answers together, I'm sure that that's going to be a great encouragement for you this week. So, it'd be great if you could do that. But now Steve and Maddie are going to come and lead us in a couple of songs.